bleed red.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read at the Movies. I should have looked up how to say, like, cinema in Russian.
I doubt you would have pronounced it right anyway.
Excuse me.
Oh, should we use my thingy, my voice app thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
What is the Russian flag? Is it still the sickle and hammer?
No.
Oh, no. No, it's not. It's
just three.
It's... Oh, it's the flag of the White Party. Is what I learned earlier.
It's like white, red and blue horizontal stripes. I can't remember which order, though.
Poorly Read at the Movies.
Плохо читать в кино.
There's no way you would have been able to pronounce that.
Well, the thing is, Poorly Read at the Movies is not a sentence that makes sense.
Yeah, but all you need is the individual thingies.
I guess.
It's okay, they haven't got us in Soviet Union anyway.
Kinotheater.
You wanker.
The first thing I just typed it in. I thought, I'm going to just read this, try to pronounce it. Typed it in, and then obviously, like, the Russian alphabet comes up, and I'm like, oh yeah.
But yeah, what's like a Russian sound like that? Like, that's like, what's that instrument they have?
I don't know.
Now, you know, like, whenever it sort of switches to, like, a bit in a film where, like, they have, like, the Russian landscape, then you hear, like, the classic, like, Russian sort of, like, instrument being played. Whereas you'd have, like, what's that stretchy organ thing called in France?
Oh, yeah. I know the one. I can't remember what it's called now either. Why can't I fucking remember what that thing's called?
Accordion. Thank you. They have that in, like, French stuff. They have, like, a Russian thing that has whatever that instrument is. But they play like sort of like a Russian, like, I can hear the tune in my head, but I don't think I can make it come out of my mouth.
All right. Well, if anyone knows what the fuck Gifton's talking about, just imagine it.
Like, bring, 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 like that. But it'd be like, sort of like, I got like a purry sound to whatever the instrument is.
It might just be cats.
In Soviet Union, cat play instrument, I guess. Just got like a dilapidated house with all the fucking like aristocrats looking like starved, sad and dejected.
Still just desperately playing jazz.
Yeah. But still like sad jazz, like bah, 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 bah. It's the blues.
Sad jazz.
'Cause a cat's the only cat who hasn't eaten for a week. Anyway, fucking hell, yeah. What film are we doing today, Tom?
Anastasia, which is how I always wanted to pronounce it, but they all say Anastasia.
So, do you know, one of the first things I thought that never fucked me off as a kid, because I know why they did it back in like the 90s, but now I don't think they would. But the fact that the lead two actors just had American accents. I
was like, yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, it's like, in these films where they're set in another country, it's like everyone below a certain age, everyone in, you know, in their young, like 20s, just speaks with an American accent. And then everyone of the older, all the older characters all speak with the accent of the place that they are from.
I think more so than that is everyone who's like not
a central character.
With the exception of Pocahontas, because what's her name? Pocahontas' best friend had like an American accent. Even though Pocahontas' accent wasn't American, it was obviously like just because she was speaking English, it, you know.
Yeah, but although Pocahontas is an interesting one though, because that's the only one that actually addresses like difference in language.
That's very true, yeah. But yeah, and obviously Anastasia was not a Disney film, even though it is now technically. But like, yeah, like they could have just had Meg Ryan and John Cusack did the voices, if I remember correctly. They could have just, like, they do it so that they can make it more like marketable and more like, you know, relatable for like an American kid. I was like, I'm sure it would have been fine. Like, I don't think I would have had an issue if Anastasia had, like, a little Russian twang, you know? Like, no. I didn't mind that her grandmother had it.
No, exactly. But like you say, you kind of expect it of the more peripheral characters, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have been bothered by it either. I think it would have been cool, but I don't think there's any way it would have ever happened.
But yeah, fucking Anastasia. She's out of love. Set her free.
A less successful precursor to Shakira.
I don't think they're related in any kind of way.
They just both kind of go...
No, I think Shakira has the same kind of singing voice as... What was that? Was it Sonique who did that song? That your loving feels so good. That's what makes me high. But I should let you know. Do you remember that song?
I do remember that song.
Yeah, that, and then the woman from M People, Heather Smalls. Yeah, search for the hero inside yourself. That one.
Yeah, a bit like that. That weird sort of back of the throat, but still sort of nasally.
Yeah, and I'm like, you put that voice on. You don't sing like that normally.
Yeah, but that's the case with a lot of voice types.
I guess so, yeah. Because otherwise we'd all be singing in our weird British accents.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what Adele would sound like if she just sung like how she would if she'd never heard an American singer?
I'll set fire to the rain.
Hello, it's me. But oh, Gran's been on the sherry again. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, what did you think of the film?
I liked parts of it and I didn't like other parts of it.
And what parts, like, irked you?
I could have done without the whole spooky Rasputin thing.
Oh, really?
I thought that the story was good enough. And if the threat could have come from some kind of actual, like, in-world political upheaval of some kind, rather than spooky devil in the underworld type thing. But I kind of get why they had to have a magical, mystical twist on it, because, you know, kids animated film or whatever. But just for me watching as a man in my 30s, I could have done without that shit and had it be a more an actual, like, real world film, because I thought the story without that was strong enough, and it just needed a bit of tweaking for there to be for the same danger to be present. But without,
I know
all the
what you mean, because I think that I wonder how I've not thought about that, and now you say that I do think actually maybe that would have been like cooler. I don't know how they would have sort of done like a climactic ending fight.
That's it. There would still have to be some kind of threat, someone trying to kill Anastasia because they want the new regime to stay in place.
Yeah, like...
So it would have to be a political faction of some kind, but, who send assassins after her or whatever.
Yeah, but then, like, if that was a fight at the end, it would have been so... There would have been nothing... I think it had to be, like, fantastical in some way for it to be, like, appropriate for a kid's film.
Oh, yeah, maybe. For sure. Yeah, yeah, so, it would be less of a kids' film and more of an adult drama if I had it my way. But that's how I'd have preferred it.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but I think that's a good point. I think, yeah. I guess it's so weird because you've really got to, more so than other films, I think you've really got to watch this film through the lens of the time it was made. Because I don't think they would make this film now. Two, I don't think they'd make it like this if they did do it. I think they'd probably make it a lot more like what you were saying. I don't know. It's just it's like an odd story to want to bring to the screen. I thought it's a good one, but it's an odd one to choose to make a kid's animated film out of it. I wonder who had the idea for this.
Yeah, I feel like it must have been an effort to... Because they're essentially incompetent. They want to make an animated film about a princess.
Yeah.
But they want to do it in competition with Disney, so they can't, you know, they needed to make it about a, you know, they wanted their own version of a Disney princess.
What's the most opposite of a fairy tale princess that we can find?
Someone at the board meeting just went, Russia. They're like, yes.
Oh, God. And really, they must have started making this not long after the Cold War had ended, which I think is actually quite interesting, really.
Yeah.
Because this came out like 97, 98, and animated films take like 5 years or so to make. So maybe they were in the board meeting. Maybe it was like on the day the Cold War ended, and they were like, guys, what that is? Russia. They're like, fuck yeah. Walt would hate that. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's go there, man, if you want to go there.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's one thing that sort of, now that I know a little bit about it, And I've stressed that little bit because no matter how much I try and ingest, I can't remember any of the facts. But now I know a little bit about it. The reason for like the downfall of like the Romanovs in this film, I was a bit like, no, like
very, very much reimagined.
Yeah.
Almost commissioned by, you know, the Russians.
By Mr. Romanov himself.
Yeah. To gloss over a lot of shit.
Look, guys, I wasn't withholding grain. It was a wizard.
He was never my friend.
Yeah. He didn't fuck my wife. What are you talking about?
He was never our unicorn.
But yeah, I can see that. I actually had a real good time watching it this time. And
I did from about the second half onwards. The first half, for me, there were too many songs.
And I love all the songs in this film.
It's
rare for me to say.
Really? I found them all quite unremarkable.
No, Journey to the Past and Once Upon a December is fucking, makes me cry, that song. Like when the music swells and all like the figures come out of the paintings and stuff, I'm like, oh my God, just like the majesty of it makes me just well up, like straight away. Yeah. But yeah, so I give it a solid, what would I give this? I seem to be giving this score a lot lately, but maybe like a 3.9 out of 5, I think. Yeah. Like almost a 4, but just, I think like sort of like the whitewashing of history, I didn't like sort of like that much.
7 out of 10?
Yeah, I guess that makes more sense. Yeah.
Nah, 3.9 out of 5. I think I'd prefer that.
Yeah.
There's me trying to ruin your quirky systems with logic.
Well, it would still have to be like a decimal thing, wouldn't it? It'd have to be like 7.8, I think.
If you're going to do the equivalent of 3.9, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so fuck you. Anyway, Anastasia. So we get a lovely voiceover by Angela Raspberry, and she's like,
Angela Raspberry. Yeah.
She's like, back in Russia, Nicholas, my son. Such beautiful parties.
Such beautiful mustache.
The mustache in his face, the mustache above his penis. Like, yeah. Both.
His mustache rides were the most popular in the land.
Yeah. Oh, if only Nicholas knew how much I loved him. How much I yearn to have him plunder my loins. Oh, Nikolai. And she's saying this all into the microphone at the ball. But yeah, she's like the empress of... What is she the empress of? She's the empress of something. Is she the empress of Russia? But she's not the ruler of anything.
No, she's an empress. I guess like the equivalent of the queen mother.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know
the what... King like, mother. The king mother.
Is Russia the only like place to use like Tsar as its like title?
It's a great question. Until you asked that, I had assumed so without really thinking about it.
Yeah, me too. And now I'm like, huh? Because it'd be good to know what like the actual like monarchy system was there.
Yeah.
And stuff. Let's just say yeah. Yes. Everywhere else, they're called kings or they're called sultans.
Or emperors.
That's true. Who has an emperor still?
Dunno, North Korea. Although they're not even called that. I don't know what they're called.
Anyway, fucking Empress Angela is like, oh, Anastasia, I'm going back to Paris tonight. My accent is not going to be anywhere near anything today, by the way, guys. It will morph between 10 different things all at once. I'm going back to Paris tonight, and here's a box and here's a key. And I said, she's like, oh, what is it? She's like, it's a box and a key, I just told you. And I said, she's like, ah.
It's a model of your father giving his one of his famous mustache rides.
If you open it up, the figures inside the music box, they do a special dance we call Mama Son Do Happy Things. It's just like a little figure in Angela Lansbury raising her legs and the Tsar's head going down and her like laughing because his mustache is tickling her. And I said, she's like, oh, what's an age-appropriate gift? She's like, I know. Only in Paris. But yeah, she's like, this is like, it plays Our Lullaby, Our Once Upon a December. Which I'm so, I can't believe you don't like that song. It's
no,
so
I like it. Like, it's fine. Like, that one's like the one I can remember. And the one that, yeah, that she sings on the
Journey
path.
To the past. One step at a time, one foot, then another. Who knows where might something will go?
Yeah, that. It's fine.
Famous mustache rides, all these swelling tides, then my vag just overflows. But so now we're having a big party.
And then Rasputin shows up. And everyone's like, oh my God. And this is really, like, Rasputin's motives are all a little bit Maleficent-y.
I thought exactly the same, yeah.
But I was kind of like, whatever. He has slightly more motive than Maleficent,
yeah,
I feel.
Like, I helped you so much. I did this, I did that. And Nicholas is like, yo, you get out of here.
Yeah, you get out of here. You have ridden your last mustache.
And he just tears off one half of his mustache and throws it over Rasputin's feet. Rasputin's like, no, comrade.
Comrade.
But yeah, he's like, nah, so what I do this. I've sold my soul to the devil and now I curse all the Romanovs to die. And his curse leads to the Russian Revolution, it turns out. And I was like, no, what?
Yeah. But there's no, like, there's no actual revolution. It's just, like, there's no explanation of what power takes over.
You just see some guys in, like, furry hats storming the palace as the, like, family flees.
Yeah, and it's like, now the Romanovs are gone, and Russia just continues with no one. And that's it.
Yeah. You know, like the next kind of things you see, like you sort of see, so grandmother and Anastasia get sort of led out the back door, by a young Dimitri who we meet later, and they get on a train. The grandmother gets on a train, and I thought, why wouldn't you put any normal person would put the girl on first and then get on afterwards?
You know, so, I actually rewatched this because I was sort of looking away, making notes on my phone when that all like happened, and I rewatched it to be like, hang on a minute, what the fuck. And she does kind of get, like, dragged up onto the train by the men standing on the edge. Right, and then she gets, like, held there so she can't, like, jump off and get her. So yeah. I was like, all right, because I thought exactly the same thing.
But yeah, she's like, Anastasia! And Anastasia falls behind and gets knocked out on the platform. Then we cut to 10 years later in St. Petersburg and everyone's fucking lamenting the death of the Romanovs and selling artifacts. Like, ah, look, this is the half ton of mustache by Mr. Nicholas.
They say he threw it at Rasputin's feet.
No, comrade. Yes. I have an etching that proves it. Ah, very accurate. Yeah, everyone's doing this big song and dance about how they miss the Romanovs and stuff. And I was like, no one said that.
No. No. That's it. This film was paid for by, like, descendants of the Romanov family, I'm sure. I guess
I
not
mean,
that there were
to
any.
To be honest, maybe people did say that after the fact. Like, do you know what? Like, it was shit before, but it was better than this.
Maybe.
But, like, who knows? I don't think anyone's alive still to tell us.
No.
No, they can't be. They'd have to be, like, 120 by now, right? 110 at least.
Yeah,
well, they'd have been alive before it happened and then afterwards as well and been, like, conscious enough to
have enough memory of it, yeah.
Yeah, they would be, like, the oldest person in the world, so no one's allowed to tell us.
Nope.
Oh, God. Maybe history books tell us, but no one can trust them.
If I don't hear literally from a person who was there alive at the time, then I don't believe it ever happened.
It would be interesting if someone... If we made this podcast like 30 years ago, it wasn't a podcast, it was like a radio show. It was like a pirate radio show. And we were like, we need to interview someone who was alive during the Russian Revolution. Can people write to us via Royal Mail and tell us where we can look?
Tell us where we can look for someone.
Yeah. Also, Anastasia has not been made yet. But yeah, oh, so they are talking about the lost Princess Anastasia. Like, oh, some say she's still alive. Her grandmother's still looking for her. Blah, 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 blah.
So we cut to Anastasia, or Anya, getting kicked out of an orphanage.
Yeah, the woman running the orphanage is like, ah, here's this tin whistle and a can of beans. Go find your luck in the world. But also give back the beans.
Did you think I was giving you the whole tin of beans?
No, you just hold it for 5 seconds and then give it back. It's called the Russian goodbye. Like, oh, thank you, Mother Hubbard. And then the mother says, go to your fishing village. I've got a job for you there doing fish things. And Anastasia's like, ugh. So she goes out of the gates to where the signpost is. And she's like, I don't want to go and fish. I want to go.
I don't
want to
go and fish.
Yeah.
You know it's just going to be a brothel without a shower.
Oh, Tom! Oh, my God. But yeah, she still has the necklace that her grand gave her that opens up the music box and it says Together in Paris. And she's like, I had to go to Paris. That's where all the answers are. And I remember thinking, like, that's like good for you, but also that's not a lot to go on at all.
It's not a lot to go on, but also if I'm in her position, no idea who I am, no prospects of anything, and in one direction I've got a job in like a fish factory, and another direction I've got a mysterious hint at my past, travel to another country and try and find it. I'm doing what she does.
Yeah, I guess so. But also she has no money.
Yeah, true. But
I mean, really should have thought about maybe going to the fish factory for at least a couple of months, saved up a little bit.
Put away. To be honest, she's a fucking grown-ass woman by this point.
Yeah.
And she's still just chilling at that orphanage until Mother Hubbard kicks her out forcibly and says, go and get a job.
Well, I assume that day was her 18th birthday.
I feel like at that period in Russia, she'd have been working probably without pay, though.
Mm. She might have been working in the orphanage as like a
scullery maid.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a thing that they might have.
Just fucking, I don't know, burnishing pots, I guess.
Yeah.
Because orphans have got to eat off of glinting silverware. Just to remind them of what they don't have.
Otherwise, they'll simply refuse to eat. That's why they're so skinny.
We give them shiny forks and no food. That's how they know that Russia loves them. Like, oh. Yeah, okay, yeah. She fucking has a little song, which is Journey to the Past.
She sings a little song.
Yeah.
Because a dog comes along.
They don't fail me now. Something, something, something. I'm going to walk in the snow.
She finds
a dog. Yeah. The dog almost is ineffectual in this whole film. It only does one important thing at one point, and other than that, I actually forgot it was there.
I mean, I could sort of think of two important things it does, but they could have. I feel like they were just in there so that the dog does something.
Yeah, I don't even know what she calls the dog.
Pooka.
He was a showgirl. Oh, God. But yeah, she goes to the ticket office. She's like, one ticket to Paris, please. And he's like,
she's singing her song and following the dog all the way.
Yeah. Now I'm at the station. And look, there's a booth. And I've got my coins ready. She's like, no singing in station. She's like,
it's called a kiosk. We're in Russia.
Sorry, it's not a booth. Turns out it's a kiosk. Where's my fucking dog run off? Yeah, the guy's like, no exit visa, no exit. She's like, fuck. And then the old woman goes, hey, if you want an exit visa, go find Dimitri at this place and this place. She's like, okay. So she goes to St. Petersburg, which I hope wasn't far, because if I said that, you'd be very tired.
I think the station, she was in St. Petersburg already, wasn't she? That's where the station was from.
Was she?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
This whole time, she's got her scarf in her pocket and it's trailing in the snow. And it really stressed me out. Because
that's going to be fucking sopping wet.
It's going to be horrible when you need to put it on.
Maybe it's just a reminder of what life at the orphanage was like.
Maybe. I can't have too much luxury like a dry scarf.
It's a reminder of home. But she goes out into the world to find Dimitri, and then she passes him accidentally and asks the woman where to find him. And the woman points her in like a general direction. I was like, I thought the woman was pointing at him who just walked like past. And I thought Anastasia was going to turn around and go, oh, Dimitri. But she doesn't. She gets directed to the Winter Palace. And then she looks at shit. She starts remembering stuff and she's like, dancing bears, painted wings, things I almost remember. And then she fucking sees all paintings come to life and shit. And then she...
Oh my God.
And then she like sees like a princess dress like appear on her. And she sees herself dancing with her dad. And she's like, far away, long ago, glowing dim like an ember. That's when I started crying when she said glowing dim like an ember. I was like, oh my God, the music's swelling so much. But yeah, and it's the lullaby that her gran used to sing to her, but with like different words because she's sad and sorrowful and can't remember shit. But apparently she remembers fucking tons because she knows exactly what her dad looks like. And then after she's finished singing, Dimitri and his friend Vlad appears.
Vlad appears. That's his full name.
And what's your name? Vlad appears. What do you do? Yes.
Did you see me arrive? No, you did not.
It is like a magical poof. I just go clap, bang, wall up, and there I am. Ah, very good. Must help you evade the army. Shh. They know me as Vlad Stays Put.
Yeah. Also, I can't disappear.
Yeah.
I have to run away like everyone else.
I had to go to spy school to get myself out of sticky situations because what was I supposed to do? I appear in the prison and now what? So, yeah, and they're like, they talk to her and she's like, oh shit, I got like, a, you know, like, I got to go and stuff. And then she stands in front of a tapestry that has like the Romanov family, and she happens to look strikingly like the little girl Anastasia.
Yeah, so and they're all like, thinking, yeah, has their whole like, oh, this ticket's for Anastasia. It could be you. I don't know. What do you think?
It could be you. And the big national lottery hand like comes out in there and points at her. But yeah, he's like, because she's like, look, I heard that you can get me into Paris. And he's like, well, I do have an extra ticket, but this is for Anastasia. And, you know, and then she's like, oh, and he's like, but you know, you do look, he sort of does like Jedi mind tricks on her to sort of convince her that maybe she could be Anastasia because she doesn't remember fuck all about who she was as a younger person. But yet she bears a striking resemblance. And then she's like, no, thanks. So him and Vlad go to walk away. And then Dimitri's like, give it 5 seconds, 5, 4, 3, 2. And then she goes, Dimitri, wait, do you know who's to say I'm not Anastasia? Yeah. And when he's like, great, let's begin your training right away.
He's like, yeah, I fucking thought so.
Yeah, they can.
You silly bitch.
Gives her a backhand and he's like, you ain't no princess.
Lesson one.
Oh, God. But yeah, so they start her training. Oh, no, they do. So they do start. No, they go to start.
They do
training.
Start her training. Not like that.
Yeah. But, oh, God. But Bartok, like Rasputin's little bat friend, has been keeping watch in the castle, I guess. Not in the castle, in the palace. But yeah, Bartok is like, something. Dimitri got another woman being Princess Anastasia. And then,
oh shit, where did this magic green jar behind me come from?
Yeah, so, right, so earlier on in the film, when Rasputin was there, he had sort of enacted his curse. When he sold his soul to the devil, he got his magical powers inside like a glass tube thing, and that allowed him to do his magic. And Bartok's been watching over this thing the whole time, because Rasputin got killed, by the way, way back in the film. Forgot to say, he got drowned by, I don't know, people.
I don't know, someone drowned Rasputin.
So Bartok's been watching over his golden magical green magic tube. And then when Anastasia's in the palace, it comes to life again. So Bartok's like, ah, if you've come to life, this must be the real girl. And then it drags him into the underworld where he meets Rasputin. He's sort of been like living in like purgatory for the past 10 years.
Yeah. And he's falling apart like a sort of comic death clown.
Did you know that Christopher Lloyd did the voice for him?
Who is Christopher Lloyd?
Uncle Fester.
Oh.
And Marty McFly and Doc from Thingy.
Oh.
Back to the Future. Yeah. I was like, ah.
Wait, did the voice for Rasputin or Bartok?
Rasputin.
Ah.
I don't know who did the voice for Bartok.
Some cunt.
Anyway, so fucking hell. And so Rasputin's like, ah, oh, why? Oh, Bartok, my friend. That's a fist bomb, yes?
Mm. Yeah, it's been so long, dude.
But Bartok's like, he says something and Rasputin's like, ah, oh, I thought the Romanovs were dead, but she still lives. And then they sing a song. And so, yeah, he's like, but he can't leave Purgatory. I
mean, well, apparently he can.
He can, but he doesn't. He can't at the moment.
But he's worried that he just won't survive up on the surface world, so he tries to kill her from in various ways from down below until he just decides to go up to the world, and then he sort of is
so
fine.
Maybe it's like when all hopes are exhausted, like I just have to do it myself.
Yeah,
you know, I'm falling apart. But yeah, so he hatches a plan, like a villainous chicken.
He squats down and squeezes out a plan.
Oh god.
And then rubs his reliquary all in it.
Fucking hell, that's, can you say that word again? Because they said it in the film and I was like, I've got to remember what that's fucking called.
I said it wrong anyway. I think it's a reliquary.
I think you're right. I don't even know how to Google that. Reliquary. I mean, does it have a Q in it?
It sounds like it has a Q in it.
Okay, R-E-L-I-Q-U-A-R-Y.
Yeah.
A container for holy relics.
Yeah, well. If Rasputin's soul isn't a holy relic, I don't know what is.
It just sounds like a receptacle for a priest's sperm sample, I guess. For Ras to put his pute in.
So, cut to the train.
Yeah, this happens awfully fast. I mean, I guess that's what she wanted, is a train ticket, and she gets it. So they get on the train, and she's got her fake visa papers.
Fake titties.
But it turns out that they're the wrong colour, because they've been... What did you say?
I said fake titties.
I go, see, so are you wearing your fake titties? She's like, yes, what do I do when the guy comes? You take off your jacket and you push these in his face. If he doesn't like that, I'm wearing a fake penis too. Mine's soft and Vlad's is erect, so he has plenty to choose from.
It's all right. If we need him, he'll be there in a flash. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, their passports are blue-coloured right inside, and Vlad overhears other people saying they've been changed to red, and he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we need to go. So Dimitri wakes up Anastasia and they go and get into the, like, luggage carriage, I guess.
Which I guess is one from, like, the head of the train.
Yeah.
Because, meanwhile, lots of little green demon monkeys have swarmed the train and got in through the chimney and through the various train holes.
Or they could have just opened a door, I guess.
Yeah, well, they could. Tell that to them.
Oh, God. Yeah, they start, like, fucking up the train.
Just fuck it all over the train.
Oh, God. And so basically, the train engine starts going berserker, and Dimitri turns into fucking like the Last Action Hero all of a sudden. And
yeah, fucking Superman.
I was like, what? Because he was like, something's wrong with the engine. I'm going to go and investigate. And I was like, why? You don't know shit.
What do you think you're going to do?
And then so there's like the, like they manage to get a stick of dynamite and blow the engine away from the carriage. But then the bridge ahead of them is blown apart by the demon monkeys, or the demonkeys as they like to be called.
The demonkeys.
Yeah, because they're demonkeying around. Oh, that's the only bit of a monkey song I know, and that bad. Is it bad? I don't know. They haven't been famous for like 50 years. Who gives a shit? So, And then he tries to rest, like, save the train carriage by, like, hooking a bit of chain to it and hooking that onto something else and all this stuff. And I was like, mate, where did you learn this? But they do. They get off the train and they land in the snow and everything's fine. And
yeah.
Rasputin does his classic, and stretches his neck as far as it can go.
Oh, I'm a villain and I've been foiled. Stupid demon, stupid monkeys.
You're always demonking around. Anyway, so then it cuts to Paris. Oh, no, hold on. Rasputin fine. No, sorry, it doesn't cut to Paris. I've skipped ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
They do a big long trek to get to Paris.
They do. And then we're in Paris. It's important we acknowledge the big long trek.
But yeah, Anastasia finds out she has to prove her identity to the Duchess's... Not the Duchess. She's the Duchess and the Empress, right?
I don't know. I've just referred to her as Grandma throughout my notes.
I think that's probably wise. Let's call her Grandma. Grandma, we love her. To the Empress Grandma Duchess's assistant. So they have to start training her, and Anastasia's like, oh, fine.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you didn't tell me I had to do this. I refuse.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, fine.
Shit. And then she accidentally pulls out like a fact that they didn't tell her, and they're like, huh. And it's like, oh, she's starting to remember.
Yeah, yet another song.
Oh, yeah, how does that song go?
Fuck knows.
It's like, da, 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 da. We're going to train you. We were just on a train who.
It's like, da, 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 da. We're going to train you.
So Anastasia, we've got these facts that you have got to learn. Fact one, your name is Anastasia and you like to gurn. And here's your uncle, Pietrov. He liked to play with cats. He... fell off his ship and broke his hip, and now he lays on mats. Yeah, so she does well on that, and then they get on a boat to Paris.
Yes, indeed. Dimitri gives her a dress and apparently some magic ointment to grow her hair.
Oh my god, yeah, you're so right. Wow. Sorry, that just like struck me. Fucking hell. Yeah, because she had it in like a bun thing, but it wasn't that long. And then all of a sudden, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like she has like short, like neck cut length hair while she's... I guess it must just all have been like under her cap or whatever. But it's fully like down her back after she puts this dress on.
Yeah, you're so right. My God. Maybe there's like a wig attached to the dress.
Yeah, a hairpiece, like a weave.
Yeah. And they have a dance and they fall in love. And then they go...
They have a dance and they fall in love. Ah, boats.
They do the Love Forlini dance.
Yeah, the classic, any staple from any Disney film. They weren't afraid to copy and paste that bit.
Yeah. So when they go into bed that night, fucking Anastasia finds the music box and she's like, what is this? And Vlad is like, it's where I keep my... contraceptives. He's like, what's a contraceptive? And he's like, let me show you
what happens without one.
In Russia we call this impregnation.
Sounds fancy.
It is. It has a song. It goes out, impregnation, you have a baby. She's like, yes.
No, that's like, it. You are pregnant now.
But now she's like, I don't think it's a jewelry box. And he's like, I didn't say it was a jewelry box. Why? Where did you hear this is a jewelry box? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I think it's something else. He's like, I just told you. It's where I keep my contraceptives. But then she goes to sleep. And then, what's his name? Rasputin gets in her dreams. And he's like,
Yeah, he gets his long tendrily fingers all in her head.
Yeah, he does this whole thing to make her sleepwalk off the ship, but it fails.
Yeah, this is the first of the two things that I was thinking of, times where the dog was somewhat useful.
This is the only thing I could think that the dog did.
Oh, the other thing is he runs and grabs Rasputin's reliquary out of his hand at the end.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah. So dog had two useful things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dimitri really shouldn't sleep so heavily.
What, dickhead?
Yeah. Maybe that's what Dimitri stands for. His mother was like, I can tell what kind of man is going to be, let's call him Dimitri. because a dim is a penis in Russian and meat tree is head.
A meat tree.
Yeah. Sounds like we haven't seen in Russia for 30 years.
We made love under Dimitri.
You must call your baby wherever it was conceived. Isn't that right, Auntie Stovepipe? Anyway, fucking hell, Rasputin's like, fuck! Fine, I have to go upstairs. I have to go up onto the physical plane and kill myself in person.
Yeah, Bartok's like, oh, can you do, have you been able to do that this whole time? I thought you were going to die. And Rasputin's like, no.
No, I just didn't want to leave this place. It's comfy, it's warm, and it has bread.
There are skulls everywhere.
Look over there, there's a meat tree. And then so they get to Paris. Get Paris, and we hear the accordion music. Like, oh, such a refreshing change from that awful other instrument that plays the Russian theme tune.
Nobody knows what it's called, but...
No, I can only think to go gleng, gleng, gleng. Do you know, I can't go on without knowing what this is. What is the Russian...
can't go on.
What is the Russian instrument? Oh, maybe it's a balalaika. A Russian stringed musical instrument from the lute family.
It's balalaika.
Balalaika. I've never heard that before. Obviously you have. It's your favourite instrument, isn't it, Tom?
I knew what it was this whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, thank God. Enough of that balalaika. Anyway, and then we see that Granny is seeing another Anastasia wannabe.
Yeah, she's like, get out of here, you fucking slag. Slaps her around the face.
But she says it in Russian.
Yeah.
Should we see what that is? Get out of here, you fucking slag.
Убирайся отсюда, долбаная шлюха.
And then the girl starts crying, and then she runs out. And she's like,
and Anastasia sees it, and she's like, I finally understand Dimitri's training.
And so she's like, the Grand's like, I will see no more girls. I cannot take the heartbreak anymore. And then she sits down, opens a bag of candy floss and starts munching on that. Stuffing her cheeks like a hamster.
Makes herself a little mustache out of it in memory of Nicholas.
Is surprised when she gets it wet with spit and it shrinks down to a little sugar ball.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
Yes, why is it getting smaller? just like first husband's penis. Anyway, and then so the Vlad is in love with her assistant. So when they show up at the door, he's like, ah, Sophia, so good to see you. And Sophia's like, oh, Vlad.
Yeah. I see you've appeared again.
Oh God. And yeah, they all go inside and have a little pre-interview.
Yeah, which Anastasia smashes, and she mentions a boy who let her out through the wall of the palace when she's asked how she escaped.
Yeah, like there was a boy and he bashed in my sugar walls. Dimitri's like, that was me.
I let you into my hole.
I let you into my secret boy hole. And then she's like, white clouds. And then fucking Sophie's like, oh, but the Emperor is not seeing girls anymore. And then Vlad's like, no, comrade. Why, what are we going to do? And then Sophie's like, well, the Duchess, Empress, Queen Mother, Princess Anne loves the opera. Or the ballet. The Russian ballet. We're going tonight. And then Vlad's like,
so we better go shopping.
With whose money? I was thinking the whole time, did Sophie just pay for all of this? Bought her fucking diamond earrings and a necklace that probably cost a good couple of grand, if not 100 grand, easily. And a fucking opera gown.
It's a good point. I didn't think of that. I was too busy thinking about how much I fucking hated that song.
I liked the imagery, but I don't even remember the song.
It seemed like the kind of song that wouldn't have made the original cut and is now just in there in the like Disney Plus version. Like that weird learning to read song from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh my god, yeah. So yeah, then they get all dressed up and she looks fucking spiffy, she does.
Ew, I'm all spiffy.
It's like, don't worry, my gloves are white already. And she's like, oh, Anastasia. Oh, Princess Anastasia. Oh, Princess Anastasia Romanova. Suddenly all the windows are obscured with a sticky liquid and the car crashes.
Oh, I thought I was spiffy before.
But now I'm spiffy and bleeding internally. What a wonderful world, according to Louis Armstrong. Anyway, so they go into the opera and they watch the ballet. So yeah, they're watching and then...
Anastasia's sat there all nervous.
Yeah. Is it during the interval or at the end? Dimitri takes her to the box.
Don't know. At some point.
It must be at the interval because there's a whole gap between when they see her again.
So and she goes, Anastasia just goes to walk in and Dimitri's like, no, I let me go and introduce you properly. And I'm like, if you just let her walk in, man, like a lot of this drama could have been avoided.
I wonder if it would have gone differently. I mean, it probably would have. But Dimitri's clocked that she's the real deal because he remembers letting her out through the secret passage in the walls. He wants
letting
to go
her
and
into
the,
his hole.
Tell the Duchess that to like, so she believes him straight away. But the Duchess slash Empress, as Queen Mother, Queen Anne, is like, look, I've heard of you. You are that con man who auditions girls to be Anastasia. So you can get the money, the 10 million rubles, and Anastasia overhears. But it's like, fuck, there's money involved. He's a con man. I've been duped.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, so she peels off her opera dress and runs down the hall screaming.
Yeah, just her undergarments.
Yeah, and then she just dives out the window. And onto the waiting crowd below. They're like, oh, there goes another one.
I say, she looks like the Princess Anastasia.
Yes, look. She has that Romanov mustache above her bush. But no, fucking Dimitri comes out and then Anastasia's like, you lied to me. And it's like, oh, maybe at first, but you are the real Anastasia. I was that boy. And she's like, I don't want to hear it. And then she storms off and it's like, oh,
slaps him in the face.
Yeah, she does, didn't she?
Yeah.
She should have done that thing where you like break someone's nose and push it up into their skull and it kills them.
Yeah, she should have killed him for sure.
She'd be like, I don't take any prisoners. And then the Duchess is like, fucking hell, she's a Romanov. And then they kiss and make love on the carpet in front of everyone. Everyone's like, oh, this is awful, but I can't stop watching. It's Princess Anastasia and the Duchess. Oh, so many folds.
There's still a classic Romanov mustache in there.
Oh, so well groomed. So Dimitri waits for the Duchess outside and then she gets in her car and Dimitri jumps in before the driver jumps
in. Dimitri hijacks her car.
Yeah.
And takes her to like the hotel they're staying at, I guess.
Yeah, which is a very nice hotel, which I guess fucking Sophie paid for on her Romanov credit card. And then he's like, go in and meet Anastasia. Just do this, please. Because I was that boy and I rescued you, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so the Duchess goes up and she's like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
And Anastasia's like, I don't speak, what's that word? Russian, yes.
Russian.
Even though I grew up near St. Petersburg.
As soon as I cross the border into another country, I immediately forget the language of the last country. And
yes, now all I can speak is French. Zut alors, sacre bleu, blah, blah, blah.
Tout de la fruit.
Un kilometre à pair. Ça usa. Quoi?
Wow. That's a throwback.
And then the Duchess like says, look, like, fuck off, basically. I'm too old.
Look, basically, fuck off, yeah?
Yeah. Go back to whatever ginger hole you crawled out of. And Anastasia's like...
my mother's name was Alexandra.
Yeah. Alexandra Ginger Mav Romanov, thank you very much.
Yeah.
But she's like, peppermint? And then the Duchess is like, yes, I use it on my hands for so I can smell like an old woman at all times, I guess. Marry mints have not yet been invented. And then Anastasia's like, I remember I spilled a whole bottle of peppermint on the carpet once. And no matter what, it just smelled of peppermint oil. And then the Duchess is like, what?
Wet and dry vax hadn't been invented by then.
Yes, I remember you spilling that, but you rubbed your nose in it and beat you with a newspaper. You never did it again. And then they sit down and then, oh, that's it, in the car, Dimitri showed the Duchess the music box to prove he was the boy from the castle. So the Duchess has that. And then she shows it to Anastasia, and Anastasia's like, I remember now, it's a music box. It plays, and then she shows her necklace and she undoes the thing and they start, it plays the lullaby and they start singing the Once Upon a December song. And the Duchess is like, oh, Anastasia. Then they hug and they kiss. And Anastasia slips her entire gloved arm up into grandmama's uterus.
With just minimal resistance.
Yeah, together in Paris at last. Like, oh, yes. The peppermint oil helps.
It's just like putting on a sweater.
Just like putting on a well-worn, threadbare, vintage sweater, Anastasia. Put it on quick and carelessly and it'll fit just right. And so they hug, they're so happy, and this will in the papers and shit. Anastasia has been found, royal ball to be had, and Rasputin reads that and is like...
No, royal balls. Rasputin's like, I'll get my hands on those royal balls.
I'll bounce them, jiggle them, and cut them off like I was castrating a donkey. And Bartok's like, oh, that's very descriptive, Rasputin. I wonder how you say castrate a donkey in Russian. I'm going to castrate a donkey.
Я собираюсь кастрировать осла.
And Bartok's like, no, comrade! Like, yes. Yeah. So at her party, before the party... The Duchess invites Dimitri around to get his prize money. Dimitri's like, no, I can't take it.
I can't take it. And then she's all like, it was your hole we crawled in, wasn't it?
Yes, it was my boy hole.
My boy hole. It hasn't been the same since, but I regret nothing.
As the Soviet slogan goes, I regret nothing. But it doesn't take the money. And I was like, you're an idiot. Like, you can have the money and, like, you know.
I know what you mean. But also, I feel like if he takes the money, then the whole thing has been a scam and there's never any chance that Anastasia will forgive him. And he loves her.
But he wasn't even going to act on that, which is, like, the dumb thing. He was just going to leave empty-handed and sad.
Yeah,
it was like a self like flagellation thing. I was like, you're helping no one. At least if he took the money and was not going to tell her, he could have been like unhappy in comfort.
He was in comfort already. He was in a fucking palace surrounded by gold.
That is true. I guess the taps were working still and everything. So they have a party for Anastasia. Anastasia's all pretty in her like finery, I guess. And then the grandmother's like, oh, Anastasia, I get the feeling you don't want to be here. You love that...
meat tree.
Yeah, you love that Bolshevik bean. And she's like, yeah, I do.
Yes, you've got to go and get that D, Anastasia.
So Anastasia gets lured out into the garden by her dog. I guess it's kind of the reason why she ends up in this mess at the end in the first place.
Yeah, I guess so. Why does the dog lead her outside? He's a fucking idiot. I thought the dog had some sort of intuition to lead her away from bad shit.
Yeah, right? So she ends up on a bridge in this in the back garden. Or the back garden like leads onto like a major city bridge. And I was like, this doesn't feel safe at all. And then fucking Rasputin appears and tries to kill her, basically.
Yeah, he's like, surprise! Yeah, it's Rasputin!
In the dark of the night, Rasputin surprises you. And then Dimitri, meanwhile, is at the train station. And he's about to get on the train, but he accidentally says thank you instead of Dankeschön. And he's shot in the head. That's the ending of The Great Escape. I apologize. No, he's about to get on the train. He's like, but Anastasia's back home, and I've still got an opera glove, so he has to go back to give her the glove. And then he fucking arrives just in the nick of time because she's battling Dimitri, Rasputin.
Yeah, he gives her the fucking glove. Anastasia's like, not now, Dimitri.
Not now, I'm trying to fight for my life. It's like, what if I don't do it now? I'm never going to do it. Look, what if I just put it in quietly? She's like, okay, quickly. So he goes under her dress and she's like, And then Rasputin's like, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. I'm just getting my glove reacquainted with myself. Look, don't make me laugh, because I'll laugh and it'll come shooting out. Anyway, where were we? So her and Rasputin fight, and then she gets the dog, grabs Rasputin's reliquary, and chucks it at Anastasia. And then she's like, this is for my dad, this is for my mom, and this is for all the people of St. Petersburg, I guess. And then she crushes the reliquary, and then Rasputin dies and turns to ash. And she gets it on the floor, quickly sniffs the ash as hard as she can so she can have Rasputin in her lungs forever and ever.
Yeah, yeah, she wants to get high on Rasputin.
Yeah, he's just so virile.
Yeah.
She's like, look, if I can have spooky babies, I'll have spooky babies. That's all I want in life. Can you give me a spooky baby, Dimitri? He's like, oh, I can try. I can become a priest and grab a Ouija board and we can get at it. She's like, that's not enough. I need Rasputin's dead ashes in my lungs.
I need Rasputin's dead ashes to form a part of my baby's body.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, look, quickly dunk me in the river, bring me back, and let me sit on top of the ash pile. It's like, God. Remove the glove first, and I'll sit on it, then I'll inhale as quickly as I can, and hopefully it will create like a vacuum, and then I'll be all ashen. Inside.
Dimitri's like, oh, I think I had needed to get on a train or something. Why am I... How did I get back here?
Ah, it's the power of Rasputin's ashes. So anyway, her and Dimitri decide to run away. She leaves a note for her grandmother saying, we'll be together in Paris soon. Love, Anastasia. But yeah, then it ends and Anastasia's like, kiss me, and he does, and they kiss, and then she sneezes and fucking Rasputin comes all out and she's like, quickly, scoop it up into a pile again. We've got to get it back inside. Sorry, everyone. Has anyone got a funnel? And that's the end of the film.
Yes, Dimitri's confused look as he wasn't sure he signed up for any of this.
But yeah, fucking hell. Anastasia, she found her way back, I guess.
Back to her past.
Yeah, look, you did it.
I did it.
Yeah.
I sing the song.
So yeah, I hope you guys fucking enjoyed it. Well, I guess I've been gifted.
And I suppose in Soviet Union, gifted been you.
That was such a poor use of that. Fuck.
I know, but I was like, I need to. I mean, we've got it.
I don't know. In Soviet Union, mustache eats you. In Soviet Union, anesthesia? In Soviet Union, anesthesia has not been invented yet. You simply grip onto this chair leg and we hack. Anyway, so fuck it, I've been Captain.
And I've been Tom.
And, what's a funny Soviet... Well, I guess that's an oxymoron, isn't it? Goodbye.
До свидания. Yeah.